مشواره مالوش أول مالوش آخر قراره طاوي أسراره ودايما في الهوى مسافر ولا نهاية لمشواره.
And it's half a minute before 10 a.m. Coming up at 10, Air Cascadia is off today. We'll hear Flashpoints, which looks at the killing of a 23-year-old Latino man by San Francisco cops. And Kevin Pina reports on the hidden story of Tanzania's socialist villages. And today officially marks the 100th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide. At 11, the Armenian Collective remembers the genocide and discusses the history and politics of genocide denial and the role of the media in creating conditions for atrocities. Thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a KBOO member, become one. Go to kboo.fm and click on Donate Today. It is now 10 a.m. and you are tuned to KBOO Portland. We're going to listen to a couple of messages and then we'll go to Flashpoints.
Oh, I got a home. I'm just rambling around.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the Portland Renters Assembly, happening Tuesday the 21st from 5:30 to 7:45 p.m. at the Central Library in downtown Portland, and Sunday the 26th from 1 to 3 p.m. at the North Portland Library. The Portland Renters Assembly is a gathering of people united by the burden of rent and committed to housing as a human right. There'll be a chance for individuals to tell their stories about skyrocketing rents, no-cause evictions, dubious fees, and other kinds of exploitation carried out in the name of rent. There'll be childcare, snacks, and a chance to get connected to resources for moving forward together. For more information about the Portland Renters Assembly, go to kboo.fm and click on the right side for community events.
You can help KBOO end the spring membership drive early. Donate right now and be entered into the spring membership drive sweepstakes. One lucky KBOO supporter will win a prize package that includes a 6-month VIP pass to the Crystal Ballroom that allows you and a guest entry to every show, even if it's sold out, as well as access to the VIP viewing area. A 1-week artist residency at Southwestern Lodge in Seaview, Washington on the Long Beach Peninsula, $200 in gift certificates to the Portland Saturday Market, and 10 treatments at Working Class Acupuncture. For every $15,000 we raise between now and May 5th, we will remove one day from the spring membership drive, which will be from May 6th through May 16th. Thank you for your early support. All the funds raised during this time will be applied to the spring membership drive goal of $95,000. A donation is not required to enter the sweepstakes. For more info, kboo.fm/2015springsweeps.
Today on Flashpoints, will there be justice for 23-year-old Amilcar Perez Lopez, gunned down in cold blood February 26th by violent and out-of-control San Francisco cops? And we'll report on the hidden story of Tanzania's socialist villages, subject of a brand new book, Ujema, which describes post-colonial Tanzania's successful model of development from the grassroots. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Again, my name is Dennis Bernstein. You are listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. And we're going to be talking about the police killing, as we said, on February 26th of 20-year-old Amilcar Perez Lopez, another victim of an out-of-control police department in San Francisco and a national pandemic of police violence. We're joined today by two attorneys who are working very closely on this case. And believe me, over the next couple of days, you're going to be hearing a lot more about it. Let me tell you who's joining us. First of all, we've got our own senior producer, Miguel Gavilan Molina, in studio. Joining us in studio as well is Bill Simpich, noted civil rights attorney, investigator. The killing happened in front of Bill's house in the Mission. He heard the shots. Also joining us is Jonathan Melron. He's an attorney, civil rights activist. He is an investigator with the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights coming out of the Justice Department, and he joins us from Northern California as well. I want to thank you, Bill Simpich. Jonathan Melrod, welcome back to Flashpoints.
Pleasure being here.
All right. Well, let me start with you, Bill. You were, this is your neighborhood. This is your street. You heard the shot. What happened next?
After the volley of shots, which I only heard, people looked out the windows, people tried to take photographs, people tried to leave their homes, and the police were blocking people at every turn, saying, stay in your homes, don't look out the windows, there's a Confederate loose, which was totally untrue.
A Confederate? What's a Confederate?
They were claiming that somebody with the shooter was running loose, which wasn't true.
All right, so you began your own investigation at this point.
Started talking to the neighbors.
Tell us what you learned from your neighbors.
Well, a number of things. One thing that came pretty clear pretty quick was that there wasn't any blood on the sidewalk. And
why is that important?
Well, because the cops, specifically Chief Sir of the SFPD, say that Amakar lunged at the police and tried to attack them with his knife.
All right. What else did you learn? We heard that this guy, he was stealing a bike, he was running away, he was attacking other people in the community. He was violent.
Well, he was running away from the police at the time he was killed. And his body's in the street. He had a knife. We're not quite sure the role of the knife, but we believe it was self-defense. That's a side issue and a red herring as far as we're concerned. We're concerned about the cause of death and the reason for death, and there was no good reason to shoot this man.
And you said there were multiple shots. I understand you found one of the bullets in your neighbor's wall.
Two of the bullets in my neighbor's wall out of the six shots.
Two, and these were bullets from the cops.
Right.
So, Bill, you know, just put this into context. This is your neighborhood. There, you know, we're hearing a lot about gentrification, about the Google buses, about the folks whose community this has been for decades, essentially coming under attack by folks who don't know the community, don't know the neighborhood, aren't afraid of the people who live there now.
Well, I think when you look at the full case that's going to be revealed tomorrow, which includes Amakar being jumped by two cops in plain clothes who are shouting English at him. He doesn't know any English. There's no altercation going on. He did have a knife on him, but one, the knife was not in play. He was walking back to his home. The altercation was over. And two, the knife was found well out in the street. We don't believe the knife was played at anybody. We think what happened here was the cops treated this as turf and sent a message, just like they've the authorities have sent a message with the evictions and the immigration stuff and the displacements. The whole message is being get out of the Mission. We're taking over, meaning the people with lots of money.
Dennis Bernstein here, and also in the studio is Miguel Gavilan Molina.
You're absolutely correct, Bill. And Dennis, there is this kind of like, secret push, you know, under the, you know, away from the public view of terrorizing that particular neighborhood, of forcing people off the streets, of making people afraid to live in their own blocks, you know, in their Mission. for, you know, decades and decades, you know, the Mission has been a Latino kind of like, you know, district. The founding of San Francisco was founded in the Mission. What is the Mission now? But you have this thing where the money's coming in, you know, foreign development, foreign investors, you know, the so-called techies are coming with big monies, and the police find it their duty to serve the elite, to serve that money interest. This is just another example of people being afraid of that dark, you know, man, that dark person, you know, that person of color, who are outsiders coming into basically Latino brown community. So where does it go from here? There's a lot of anger. People are very, very upset, and there's going to be continued protests. People are still reeling from the Alex Nieto, you know, murder of someone who was trying to be work in law enforcement, you know, as a probation officer, someone who had no criminal record, and again, shot to death. So this is like reoccurring. You know, you found, I think Alex Nieto was, what, 26 years old?
And now, this Buddha, is a 20... practicing Buddhist, yeah.
A practicing Buddhist. Now you have a 20-year-old that was shot to death. Somebody has to be accountable. The community is up in arms over this.
And I want to ask you, Bill, about the atmospheric pressure. They sort of created a little national security state, scaring the hell out of people in the community by sort of either keeping them in their houses or out of the community, right? I mean, this became a major action.
For hours, people could not get home. Let's put it just like that. They sealed off both sides of the street, wouldn't let people to their homes if they were out of their homes, wouldn't let people out of their homes if they were in their homes, tried to get people's cameras for no justification. And it was that kind of scene. And we felt from the moments that were going on that something was very wrong. And I think the evidence will bear us out.
And I believe, at least I've heard, that when the police, you know, arrived there, they were on the scene and people were taking pictures, that some of them grabbed people's, you know, cameras and smashed them.
Is that right?
You know, that's outrageous. You know, it's outrageous. That I believe recently, in the last couple of months, there was something handed down by the courts that said, wait a second, police cannot do that. They can't grab your phone and download it into their computers and their cars. Well, what is that? Grabbing your, you know, your telephone, grabbing your camera? There has to be, again, accountability. The police cannot run rampant. They need to be public servants and security officers, not law enforcement, militarized police, target eliminated.
You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. That's the voice of Miguel Gavilán Molina. We've got Attorney Bill Simpich. We're talking about, the killing on February 26th of 20-year-old Emicar Perez Lopez, one of many police killings out of control in the Mission, in the city, in the country. Also joining us and very familiar with both this killing and many other police killings is Jonathan Melrod. He is a civil rights attorney. He works now with the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, and he's been watching this particular case very closely. Jonathan Melrod, welcome back to Flashpoints. Your initial response to this killing?
Well, thank you, Dennis, for having me back. And I just wanted to address something that Miguel Molina just mentioned with regard to people filming the police with their iPhones. Miguel, you're 100% right. The court recently ruled that the police have to have a subpoena before they can access your phone. But now what we're seeing is we just saw a case on CNN where a cop was being filmed by a woman, and another woman was filming the woman and the cop, a third person, and she caught the cop grabbing the camera, putting it on the ground, and stomping on it. So where people are now becoming proactive with training their cameras on the police, basically policing the police, the response of the police is to destroy the camera. So our next step is we're going to have all film go to the cloud the minute we take it, because otherwise we risk losing the evidence to the police. But to turn to this case of Amilcar, I mean, I think what I've heard so far in the dialogue is 100% on target. You know, Miguel is right when he says that, unfortunately, this has the feel of a very evil and sinister conspiracy. I don't think anybody ordered those two plainclothes cops to go down there and shoot Amilcar. But what is going on is you notice that both Amilcar and Alejandro Nieto were killed on the same street, Folsom Street. And you'll also notice that the other day at the Mission BART stop on 24th and Mission, gang task force came and they made every teenage Latino man hit the ground and took their pictures, creating gang task files on the youth of the Mission District, the Latino youth. If you notice that at Dolores Park, frequently Latino people are arrested for drinking beer, and the same attention is not paid by law enforcement to the white members of the public who are at the park. So there's just too many of these. In fact, there's over 50 people who've been displaced because of fires in the Mission. Now, I don't know who's starting those fires, but it's very suspicious that it comes at a time when developers have 9 projects slated that will displace the population, the existing population of the Mission. So, you know, whether or not it's a conscious policy, the fact is that the brunt is being borne by the brown Latino people who live in the Mission. And if you want to go back in history, that area was land of the Native Americans before the Europeans kicked them off. So it's just another wave, and unfortunately, a historical pattern of, you know, America, eminent domain, get rid of the brown people. But in this case, they're going to run into a real problem, because at tomorrow's press conference, as we've hinted, our evidence and our autopsy will completely contravene everything that the Chief Sir said and that the detectives reported in their police reports. There is nothing true that they've uttered in this case. And while we can't disclose all the details, they will be disclosed at 11 o'clock tomorrow. And after that, we'll expect the Chief Sir recant or resign, because he will not be able to face the public after he's made accountable for directly lying about this case.
What is important here and interesting is, one of the victims, if you will, Bill Simpich, because if you're living in the community and you're hearing shots outside your house, you're a victim, you're living in fear, you don't know what's going on.